Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, Calibrating Leaders to Reign. My name is Clint. I'm seated here with Mitch Clay. How are you doing, Mitch?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
We took a little bit of a break. You had to do a world tour, and so we haven't been back for a couple months or so. How's your world touring, you know, going around? I mean, you had multiple dates, multiple countries, all in a row, and you kept texting me like, I am coming back at some point.
It was just kind of, it was kind of a whirlwind. We were many cultures, many nations, and I just want to tell people, sometimes we, you know, we get into our daily routines in the places where we live, and some people don't have access to other places, which is fine, but I want you to know that God is moving, that there are really good things happening.
Oh, yeah.
And his church is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
And I see people on just an ongoing basis, but also in new levels of just literally breaking out in new, like manifesting revelation, like walking in things that were just only spoken of maybe just 10 or 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's actually people walking in that.
Like that's exciting.
It's organized, manifested, and it's their new lifestyle, you know, kind of thing. So I'm pretty excited actually.
Yeah. That's a great segue into kind of what we're talking about today, because as the sons of God in the earth, we have that ability through the power of our word and the prophetic and the just the fivefold gifting and the just the spirit of Jesus in his people is to call out things that are not as though they were. And today we kind of want to just kind of go that direction and just really begin to position ourselves, Mitch and I, to talk to you and begin to even speak to things that maybe you haven't come to an understanding of yet, or that something in you knows there's something more, knows there's something different. You're not quite sure what it is, can't quite put your finger on it. Sometimes you scroll through social media and you'll see something like, that's it, the bell's ringing right there. And we want to ring some bells today.
Yeah.
We want to ring some bells and we want to speak by the Spirit. So, you know, our job as sons of God is to really simplify it in a major way. We're stewarding what we've been given and we're calling out what's new still. So we want to steward what's God's doing already, but we're also giving birth to the new. We're stewarding the new thing from heaven. We're stewarding revelation light. So important. And as we do that, it does lay the groundwork, the framework for the kingdom going forward. So advance the kingdom is the call of his church. And as we receive from heaven, so Jesus said, I only do the things I see the Father doing, say what I hear him saying. So we're going to model that. What is the Father saying? We're going to say it. What is he doing? We're going to partner with it. And really, at a very elementary level, that's all we have to worry about is that we're in sync with the Father. We're calibrated with the Father, right?
Yeah. So when we have to think about what, we have to have revelation. We have to have understanding about what God is doing, about what God wants to do. And this might not seem like the right allegory or analogy here, but there's this guy named Wayne Gretzky. Do you know who Wayne Gretzky is?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Wayne Gretzky is probably one of the most famous ice hockey players, mm-hmm. you know. And they asked him, he was one of the highest scoring, I don't know the exact record, but I believe he might still be the highest scorer of all time. Anyway, they asked him, though, how come you scored so many goals? And he just said very plainly, very simply, he said, that's easy. He said, Most people go where the puck is, but he said, I always skated to where the puck is going to be.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Now, the prophetic application of that is we don't need to just do what God is doing right now, but we need to also be able to see where is God going, mm-hmm. where is God going to be, and go towards that.
Yeah.
So if we really continue this, the application of this, even when we're talking about maturing saints or bringing someone into that through that process of maturity, we can't just deal with them where they are right now as a leader. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to have revelation from the Father of who they are.
Yeah.
Who has God called them to be? What is the potential? What is the will of God? What is the gifts package of God? What is inside of them? Because once we know what's inside of them, then we can begin to bring them through the process to develop and bring those things out.
Yeah, this is so much the nature of the kingdom, because the kingdom at its very core is sonship maturing. And when that maturing is done, then we have what the Bible calls a glorious church.
Yeah.
You know, a bride that's beautiful and adorned. And so I had a conversation with someone that comes to our meetings, and she said, I just have to thank you because one phrase you told me that changed my life was immaturity is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it caused her to take some responsibility in her life to move forward and to have some obedience and to begin feeding herself and not give the responsibility of her maturity to someone else. And that's so easy to do. When, you know, you just go to church and you're just kind of living and going through the motions. You're like, well, someday I'll, you know, someday something will happen. But the truth is that when we see Jesus as someone who modeled an example for us to live, then we have a pattern that we can go for. And in the midst of that is kind of the things you talked about, where we begin, when we're mature sons and we're thinking the Lord's thoughts, and we're having in mind what He is doing or what He wants to do, it shifts the destiny of our life. Like that thing really shifts who we become and where we go, what path we follow. That's why Jesus was so upset with Peter, and He rebuked him because He said, "You don't have in mind the things of God, but only the things of man." And it seems so harsh because Peter was just looking out for the Lord's welfare. He's like, no, they're not going to crucify you.
Right.
Like, no, you're Satan right now, because that's the fine line that he had in mind, the things of man, but not God's. And that's what it does take to become a church son.
Yeah, that's very powerful portion of scripture there, because it talks about just what you said, that Peter, the same one who just had received revelation by the Spirit,
right,
and not from the flesh,
yeah,
now a few verses later,
yeah,
he was so moved by the flesh that he was saying, "Oh, that's not going to happen," and he basically rebuked Jesus. "You're not going to die. We're not going to let that happen," you know. But that was the will of God, and thank God Jesus gave His life. You know, He laid down His life. And you're so right about that. So if we're not careful, so much of what we think and the way we approach, you know, our church life or whatever religious things of, you know, our spiritual life, I guess, is that we're thinking along the lines of what has been accustomed and what's common in a natural sort of way. But the Father has great plans for us.
Yeah.
Plans that are much higher than what we have for our own self, you know.
So let's go this direction. I want to talk about what it takes to become that person who sees and stewards not only what God's doing, but what He's going to do, what He wants to do, and then begins to put themselves in a position to become harmonious with other people in order to establish that kingdom thing that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like a foundation that needs to be laid prophetically and just practically also, where the thing that's established in our life, because we've made place for it, like people that are expecting, what do they do? Do they wait till the baby comes to build that nursery? Man, they got that thing decked out months in advance.
Yeah, that's true.
So if we are giving birth, if our generation is giving birth to something, I believe every generation is taxed to give birth to something new, maybe multiple new things, then we have to begin to live like that new thing is coming, identify maybe even what it is. But also, like, the most important thing to me and what I want to talk about is, how do we become that people? Because that responsibility can't go to babies. Mm-hmm. It can't go to people who are still living for self. It can't go to people who are wrapped up in some other thing that has nothing to do. They have in mind the things of man, that kind of thing. So let's talk about that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think one distinction that would be good for us is that we would clarify that there is an individual responsibility. Mm. And of course, congregations or corporate is made up of numerous individuals. So I believe that we should have a vision or a revelation understanding of personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. That would be individualistic. And then we also have to begin to have an understanding that we have a corporate responsibility. Mm. And so the corporate can only be as strong as the strength of the individuals.
Yeah.
And so, and this could lead to so many ways. Well, one of the things I wanted to say, because it came strongly in my spirit as you began to speak about this, is that when you get born again, you know, you receive new life, you come into Christ, you're restored to your place in Christ. And the first thing that begins to happen is that the Lord begins to reveal and touch areas of your life that you didn't give one thought about before. And the word that came to me so strongly just a few minutes ago was selfishness. Selfishness. See, as a sinner, a person outside of Christ, a sinner, if you want to define that person, just say they're a selfish people. That person lives for themselves, lives what's best for themselves, is concerned with the things that better themselves and give themselves pleasure, give themselves protection, give themselves what they have need of, and they really do that at the expense of all other people.
Right, yep.
But that won't work inside of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of darkness, this is the rule. This is the overarching principle, selfishness.
Yes. So I know Paul, that's a theme with Paul, because he talks about how Christ, our self-life has been co-crucified with Christ. And, you know, sometimes I wish we had some of the old-fashioned teaching that was around in the, you know, the 70s and 80s, but it seems like nobody talks about these things anymore, because it's, I don't know why, who knows? But we want to talk about it, because what is the goal here? The goal that the Father wants can only be received by sons. The thing that the Father is doing, a big setup. This is why we were talking earlier, this is why Jesus taught the things he did, and loosely they can be categorized like, the kingdom is like this. These are the people, or the kinds of people who inherit the kingdom. These are what people act like in the kingdom. The goal is that we would become not only citizens of heaven in the by and by,
right?
You know,
in the future,
right? In the future, but that we become citizens now, even so much so that we begin to participate in this, in God's world as a reality in this that the laws of that world begin to supersede the laws of this world. The promises of that world come from just a word into substance, you know, and that's the supernatural aspect that Jesus lived. That's the life that he lived.
Right.
That's the thing that he walked in. And again, I don't think we can understate this, that Jesus didn't come to just show us what he could do, but show us what he could do in us.
Yeah. And part of Jesus' assignment as he walked on the earth was to lay down his life.
Yeah.
And that victory that was accomplished there enabled us to enter back in to the original intention of the Father. And this is out of Ephesians 1, maybe 3 through 5, something like that. But that this original intention was that Father would have sons. and that those sons, he and his sons, his family, would rule together.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus came as a pattern, as an example, as the first son of many sons, the first son born from the dead, and we are of those sons as well, then we now have been included or restored to that position where we can accomplish the Father's original intention and the original desire for us. Now, the problem that I see is many people don't even realize that God has this grand plan for us.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are just happy that they're not going to go to hell.
Right.
You know, and that, they're just kind of waiting around to go to heaven, sit on a cloud, strum a harp, and, you know, be happy for a bazillion years, whatever. But the Father has a much greater, much grander plan for us than just that. We didn't just get born again to be forgiven of our sins and not go to hell, but the Father has restored us to favor. He's restored us to our position. He's given his life, his nature, his glory has been deposited inside of us so that we can, like you said, co-labor with the Father and accomplish the will of God here in the earth as the sons of God.
Right.
And this isn't just theory. This isn't just concept. This isn't just some grand sweeping thing. No, this is personal. It's individual. God really means that he wants to work through us. You don't have to be a preacher, stand behind a pulpit. You don't have to be the leader of a congregation. God's sons are sown into the earth,
mm-hmm.
and these sons are releasing the authority of the kingdom and the heart of the Father and demonstrating the invisible one the earth in all manners and in all ways and in all venues.
Yeah, yeah.
In the workplace, in the marketplace, in the school systems, in every place, they're sons of God are manifesting the invisible Father.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to talk about some practical things and kind of wrap it up in this way. We want to be really practical with this, not just, you know, present a teaching where, you know, it's like, oh, I got some good notes out of that. And yeah. But we want this to really impact us and people's lives in a way that allows them to step into a new thing. We don't want them to just, you know, I think maybe that's one of the things about the anointing, about the Spirit of God, is that I'll put it this way. Bible says that he has given us power to become sons of God. So that's not only literal in the sense of what happened when Jesus rose from the dead and then we experienced born again, but that power to become sons of God is a process as
well.
That's
very good. Yep.
So it's now and not yet that tension that exists in the whole Word of God. Let's talk about some very practical things. And you mentioned a couple of things like the workplace and different things. And to a lot of people, that's very intimidating. And I certainly can identify with that. I have lived that in my process of 20-some years walking with the Lord. How do you go into a workplace as a son of God? What does that look like? What's supposed to happen? What's the result?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be very intimidated. But I made a few radical changes a handful of years ago. And these changes are quite radical. And it stems from submitting myself to the Word of God and actually doing what the Bible says. For example, in the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must completely reject and disown your life, take up my cross as your own, completely submit to my ways. And it seems very harsh to probably Americans, right? But actually, this is what Jesus modeled himself, and we are to follow him. So this is what it takes to become a son of God, number one. But once I began to pursue him in a brand new way and began to encounter him, his power that came into my life made me unafraid.
Mm.
His power emboldened me.
Mm.
And the righteousness that came into my life, the Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion.
Yeah.
And that righteousness that came into me just made me like I could walk into any situation and declare the word of the Lord, and it cut through. And I've had many opportunities at my job. For example, I work a regular job like everybody else, But my goodness, you would not believe the ways the Spirit of God has set up conversations.
Yeah.
Even with the owner of the company I work for, he would just ask me a conversation out of the blue, and then for an hour, we would teach the kingdom of God.
Wow.
And so many testimonies, and they have, this is actually what he says about me, I don't know anyone like you. And that's what people should say about sons of God, right?
I believe it. And you know, it doesn't mean you have to stand up in the middle of your workplace and preach some sermon or ring a bell and say, listen to what I have to say, you know, you're all dying and going to hell and da da da. I believe that when the Spirit of the Lord is in you and you're full of Him and you're full of His joy and His peace and so your public life is the overflow of your personal life,
mm-hmm.
your personal interaction with the Father. And there's nothing better than to spend time with the Father in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up, you get in His Word, you get in His presence, you get in His Spirit, you begin to speak to Him, and He speaks to you. And so as you start your day, you go out as one who's been with the Father.
Right.
And so it's just easily, it just spills out over. And like you said, there'll be these divine appointments.
Yeah.
You're not going to look for them. You can't make these things happen. God will put you in the grocery line with somebody. God will put you in the lunchroom with somebody. God will have a phone call, you know. And it just is such a natural thing. And it comes out of a relationship with the Father. And it comes because you understand that you are on assignment. And when you know you're on assignment, you begin to look for opportunity.
Right, right. Well, that's exactly how Jesus lived. We can see every Bible story was a setup. He saw the Father at work and He engaged it. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman,
totally.
You know, she said, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. He's like, the Father has given you faith and I'm going to partner with that.
That's right.
So why don't we just pray for people and just declare some of this stuff over them and release some blessing over them, just something to grab a hold to as we kind of look to the Father to perform this work in our lives.
Yeah, I just pray, Father, that there would be a release of your Spirit right now that would cause eyes to open and that would cause ears to open and that would cause hearts to be sensitive and able to understand what it is you're saying, what it is you're doing. And the past is the past. And Lord, that there would be an understanding and a revelation concerning a hunger for the future. Lord, that we would have tender hearts and hungry hearts. Lord, we can't make people hungry, but you can. And so, Lord, I pray that there would be those that would listen to this, that they would begin to be visited by your Spirit, and there would be this hunger inside of them, mm-hmm. that would draw them to you and to seek after you, and that you, even as they pray and ask for a visitation of your Spirit, that you would come and answer their hearts and their prayers, and that you would begin, Lord, to visit them in new ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we pray that this has blessed you today, but also, you know, in the book of Psalms, it says, in your light, we see light. So as we steward revelation light, it puts us in a position to gain more and to begin to live in this light. And so we bless everybody out there to live in this light, to see the new and to partner with the new and to take brave, bold steps into your destiny in the kingdom in that. So join us over at leadthekingdom.com as we continue this journey of fathers and sons. Hey friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.